I was thinking about with the finance part of this, because we don't always see everything right away. And a lot of times we want God to do something instantaneously, including finances, right? Like we need it right now. But there was the story of the 5,000 plus women and children that Jesus fed. And there were 5 loaves and 3 fish that a little boy gave. I mean, he was saying, feed the people. They've been here a long time. What do you want us to do? Go to town? I mean, like we're going to go and buy enough food to come back and feed all these people? Well, who's got something? So this little boy offers his. And, you know, the Lord could have multiplied it all right there and there could have been just, you know, 1 billion loaves of bread and fish right there. But instead, the way he did it was completely different than what we would have done. We would have wanted the big mass miracle, right? But as they stepped out and as they gave it, it multiplied before them. Which would you rather have, the instantaneous or just watching that as that happened? And then none of it was wasted. He took up the fragments that were left and sent the boy home with 12 baskets. Leftover. You know, just think about that. We want everything so many times just like that. But the way he did it, by faith, as they stepped out. Could you imagine being those guys that were passing out the food? Like, as it's multiplying before them. There was enough to feed this group of people, and that was pretty much going to be it. And here I am feeding a whole nother group of people, and now here's a whole nother group of people. And there was enough constantly for everybody. That amazes me. I don't know about y'all. I just, I'm that one. I love the instantaneous. I don't know about y'all. But I am learning to appreciate more and more the process of watching what God does when it's not always instant. Amen? And there are things that we learn and that we can glean from when we learn to just trust Him in the process part of it. Amen? All right. No extra charge for that. Hey, I saw something yesterday I've never seen before. We had gone to, Howdy's sister had passed away this week, and we went to the service yesterday in Mount Olive, and when we got through, we swung by Highway 55 to grab some lunch, and there was a little robot waitress. Full time. She's just part time. Okay, well, I got it on video. I wish I'd... It went over. It went right over to the table of the people, like where it was supposed to go. And there was a waitress over there, and she unloaded it. And she'd already been doing something else. She just... Here it came, so she unloaded it to the table. Then it went back to the kitchen where they reloaded and sent back out again. I sent it to Abigail, Abby, and sent her the video. Thought she'd get a kick out of it. She said, did you eat at a Japanese restaurant? I said, no, this was at Highway 55, you know, Andy's. And she said, wow, you usually see that at, you know, Japanese type restaurants. I said, no, little old Andy's in Mount Olive. So just, can you imagine? Uh-huh. Well, they got the kinks worked out, I guess. Well, I hadn't been over to the new store, so. It just was crazy. It was just, I just sent the video to some. I thought it was kind of funny. Yeah. Abby thought it was kind of cool. I said, the only thing is somebody just lost a job. Somebody just lost a job. Yeah, this is true. This is true. All right. Are y'all ready? Let's get into the Word. Lord, I thank you for your Word. Right now, we honor your Word. We yield our hearts to hear what you would say to us this morning, not only individually, but as a corporate body of people, what you want to speak to us today. We yield our hearts to you. Holy Spirit, have your way in our time together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, I shared with you, we had Yesupadam last week, but I shared just a few minutes with you about the power of the testimony. I did that specifically because I wanted us to pray for Scott, and I really wanted him to get a hold of the power of the testimony. But I felt like there was still more to talk about regarding that. Israel would, they celebrated the feast. They were commanded to keep the feasts of the Lord, and in those they would celebrate what God had done. That was part of keeping the testimony of the Lord. They also laid stones to commemorate a place where God had done something, even the crossing over there at the Jordan River. There were certain things. They built an altar. There were things they did specifically to hold fast to the testimony of what God had done for them. They wanted to pass it on to their kids. Their kids would say, why is it y'all keep these feasts? And then they would tell, this is because of what God did back when we were in Egypt as slaves all those years ago. This is what God did, and so forth and so on. And so they'd pass the testimonies of what God had done to their kids. The testimony was to remember what he had done, to give him glory, to give him honor, to give him thanks, to keep a grateful heart toward God for all he'd done. It was also to teach their children what all God had done so that the children would realize, wow, he did that for my great, 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 great. I mean, he's done these things for us through all these years. I can trust him to do these things for me as well. But another part about the testimony is the Bible tells us in Revelation that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And that's the thing that I want us to realize. We're beginning to realize more and more. It doesn't diminish the other reasons why, but it's also this as well. In Hebrew, the word testimony literally means do again. And when prophecy is given, there's power to bring it to pass, right? When a testimony is given, it's actually carrying a prophetic anointing to do it again. That's the stuff that we've not always understood. The prophetic foretells the future, but it also speaks to the present. And it speaks forth into the present the possibility of change. What looks impossible could actually become possible. It changes our present reality. The Lord told Israel, he said, keep the commands of the Lord. In other words, do what I've said for you to do, okay? Okay, he said, keep his statutes, the values, the attitude of your heart. Keep that before God so that you will obey him. And then he also said, keep the testimony. In other words, hold the testimony near and dear to your heart so that whatever happens in life, I know and I can see whatever's going on around me. I can see it through the lens of a history with God where he has done this and he has done this and he has come through here. And I'm in a bad situation, but I can view it through the history of what God has done already. the testimony. I can realize that he's done these things before and he's ready to do them again. Listen, God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And so he doesn't change. So you can realize in keeping the testimony, no matter what comes my way, God has done this and he will do it again. I mean, they understood this. So basically, the testimony is announcing to me what God has done and what God wants to do and is willing to do again. I mean, I'm saying it a bunch of different ways, but at some point we're going to get it, right? The nature of the testimony is that God is committing himself to do that which is testified about. You see that? He's committing himself. What's testified about? What you're giving testimony of what I've done, I'm willing to do that again. I will do that again. You know, Israel would get in trouble because they would forget what God had done. They would forget the things that he had done. In fact, it says in Psalm 78, they turned back. They gave up in the day of battle. And it said in the Passion Translation, they were armed and ready to do what needed to be done, but they turned back in the day of battle because they had forgotten the testimony of the Lord. The testimony of the Lord gives me courage and strength to know that he did this before and he will do it for me. He will do it. And there's power on prophecy for it to come to pass. There's power on the prophetic word. There's an anointing that is carried on a prophetic word. Now, we've been learning and understanding a little bit more and more about prophecy and the testimony of the Lord when we talk about healing, when we've talked about healing of marriages or the healing of our bodies or financial things that God's done. We talk about the testimony and we've gotten a hold of the fact that it speaks that God would do it again, like healing a body, healing of cancer, things that we've seen in this house. But I believe there's more that God wants to get a hold of. I believe there's more of the testimony of the Lord that he wants us to get a hold of, like for other areas, not just healing, not just marriage, not just finances, many other areas as well. We've talked about in this house, probably in the last year, or at least year and a half, how God poured out his Spirit in the past. Past revivals, past moves of God, past times when God has moved powerfully. I'm talking about, we've seen it in the Word of God, but we've also seen in history since then, just even 100 and 200 years ago, how God would move powerfully. And there would be salvations and miracles and deliverances and healings and whole cities impacted by the power of the Holy Ghost. I mean, bars shutting down, places of prostitution shutting down, things happening where a whole city was impacted by the power of God moving in that city. We've seen it happening in the early church. And the thing that God did for them back in 50 AD to 100 years ago, he desires to do today. Amen? I believe he wants to do the same stuff today. I don't think he just wanted to do it then and he's done. I believe that the same things he did then, he desires to do again today. And the power to do it then is still available to do it again today. Amen? So I want to let's look at a couple of things. I'm going to read this first to you, and then we'll go from here. In Mark chapter 16, when the Lord gave part of the commissioning to his disciples, he said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. These signs will follow those who believe." How many believers do I have in here? Okay. "These signs follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. Let's stop on that taking up serpents. I've had that question asked of me. We don't keep a room of serpents back here. We don't handle snakes, okay? We're not into that. But in the day they lived in, it was not unusual living in desert to come upon a snake. And if a snake got to you or tried to attack you or latched hold of you, that snake, you could take him up and it would not harm you. Okay? We saw that with Paul. All right? So let's go back. It will by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So after that, the Lord had spoken to them. He was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God. They went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word through accompanying signs. They went out preaching the gospel, and demonstration of the gospel was given. So we have this. This is available for believers. For believers. It didn't say you had to be have certain pedigree. This is for believers, okay? Turn to Acts chapter 8. Let's look at a couple of different things that happened with believers. I just believe that it's that the Lord was speaking to me that it's time to take the testimony of Jesus and what he has done, and let's believe him to do those things again in our day, in our hour, now, in this time that we're living in. I believe he wants to do more. In Acts chapter 8, this was right after Stephen was martyred. It said in verse 1, Saul was consenting to his death. And at that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now look down in verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed. Many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Okay? Acts chapter 9. Now, and we're talking about right in the middle of persecution, that happened. They're scattered because of persecution. And right in the middle of all of this, this is happening. Chapter 9, verse 32. It came to pass as Peter went through all the country, all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt at Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. Peter said to Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise, make your bed. And then he arose immediately. So all those who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there. They sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. So Peter arose, went with them. When he came, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows were standing by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out, knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand, lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. Do you think the Lord would like to do things like that today? Do you think he would like to heal so-and-so in this household and a whole community come to the Lord because of it? You know, I even think about Dustin and Courtney and Trey in Agdal that day. And they prayed for that man who'd been bent over for all those years, 30-something years. And when they prayed for him, he just came straight up and lifted his hands to heaven, praising God. His whole family gave their heart to the Lord, and people who were around did when they saw what God was doing. Don't you think the Lord wants to do that again? They believed in the power of the Holy Spirit. They believed that they were called to continue what Jesus had started. They believed that the power of the Holy Ghost was given to them to do this, and that same power would back them up. In Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to read this to you from the Passion Translation. I like the way it says it here on the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit came to live in them, in verse 4 it says, they were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit. They were and inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak in languages they'd never heard. But I wanted to read this little footnote to you as well. The two Greek words here that were used for filled, one of them meant filled inwardly for like their personal life, and then the other word, pletho, meant filled outwardly or furnished and equipped for ministry. So they were equipped when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were equipped inwardly for their own personal life, but they were also equipped outwardly to do ministry, to minister to other people, to be witnesses, to preach the gospel, to do the works that Jesus had started, and to do greater. He said, Jesus told them, he said, the works I do, you will do, and greater than these will you do, because I'm going to my Father. When I go to my Father, the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's going to come live inside you and empower you to do this. They believed that the same power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus operated in was the same power of the Holy Spirit they operated in. And they believed that the same power of the Holy Spirit wanted to operate in other believers who would come through the ages like us. The same power of the Holy Spirit available to the entire church until the Lord comes back for us to live in and walk in. Not just for us personally, but also to empower us to be able to minister to other people. Amen? How many of you agree with this? How many of you see this? All the powerful moves of God that have happened since then, all the outpourings, the awakenings, all through the ages, all these years since the book of Acts, they have been continuation of the book of Acts. They've been a continuation of it. The book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. It's the church age. And we're still in the church age. It's still the Acts. It still is. The church age is not over. We're still in it until he comes back. So we've got to do our part in this as well. It's our leg of the race now, right? So Tuesday morning, the Lord spoke a word to me that I want to share with you specifically. He said, you've never been a big church in numbers, yet you have been known to do big things. You've been a people of faith, greater faith than you've even realized. And you've seen me do great things because of that. From a young child's blood rerouting its course and new capillaries forming right before the doctor's eyes, and her life restored, to city councils decisions changing right there, that they did not intend to go this way and their decisions would change, to a verdict of death from cancer that was canceled and life was restored, to financial miracles, to a pupil being formed before your very eyes and sight brought miraculously, to a young woman who had been born blind in that eye, to deadly storms rerouted, tornadoes abruptly taken off course, and even the power of them to bring destruction was broken from storms. Demonic assignments canceled. Witchcraft broken. Bodies healed. The dead raised more than once. You've been a people of faith to believe for many things, but it's time to enlarge the capacity of your hearts to believe for greater. There is greater grace available to you and for you to believe for greater. The same power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that parted the Red Sea, is the same power that stilled the storm, is the same power that raised up Lazarus from the dead, is the same power that healed the lepers and opened blinded eyes, is the same power of the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. And I have called you to do greater things than these. There are turbulent days ahead, days of great darkness and fear overtaking men's hearts. But my desire is to pour out my spirit in the middle of what the enemy's doing. I desire to invade the darkness and for men and women and children to witness the goodness and greatness of who I am. It's time for you to believe me for more than your daily comings and goings and the occasional praying for someone here and there. The time is here to believe me for families, for communities, for cities, for great outpouring of my spirit over entire regions and nations. These are the final chapters of the book of Acts. The day is closer than you think, and I want you praying for and releasing your faith for these things now. The power of the testimony testifies of who I am and what I've done. The power of the testimony also prophesies of who I still am and what I still will do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians 3. Just go right a couple chapters. Verse 21 through 23, therefore let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. All things are ours. All things belong to us. The word is clear. It says over and over, we've been given freely everything that we have need of. Everything we have need of. There are great things that have been laid up for us to receive by faith so that we can do these things he's talking about us doing. There are great things that are laid up for us to receive. And the thing is they're not for us to receive to squander them on ourselves, selfishly. They're there to position us so that we can fulfill His purpose for our life and we can be empowered with these things He blesses us with to accomplish our assignment. These things that He's given us, all things, they are to empower us and position us to fulfill our assignment. Do you see that? To fulfill the things that He's purposed and planned for our lives. In the Jewish culture, the eldest son got the double portion inheritance. Not because he was loved more, not because he was preferred, not because of anything like that over the other siblings. It was because he was the elder, and the elder was responsible to take care of the others. And the double portion inheritance would position him to be able to do that. It would position him to be able to take care of the rest of the siblings whenever, whatever happened to the parents. We need to realize that the things that God has laid up for us, the things that He's given to us, the things he blesses us with. And I'm not talking about just money, okay? I'm not just talking about money, but the things that the Lord has blessed us with. I mean, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according to the Word, okay? The things he reveals to us, the things we've learned to lay hold of, all of these things that belong to us in Christ, we need to realize that as his children, we are responsible with what we've been given to help those around us. We have testimony upon testimony upon testimony of things God has done with this little group of people. We could go on for a half a day of how he has used us here in Goldsboro, in Florida, in other places, in the Philippines, all around. Things that God has done powerfully, miraculously. That he has blessed us with the testimonies of these things. He has blessed us with so many things that we've been able to do. And the purpose is that we would minister to other people. He's blessed us to minister to others. He's blessed us to minister healing, miracle after miracle, whether it's their physical body, their marriage, their finances, something with their kids, whatever it is. We've been blessed to extend the kingdom of heaven and to fulfill our assignment. I remember hearing Heidi Baker talking about, for those who don't know her, she's a missionary to Mozambique. She's a Mozambican mama is what they call her. And she said, you know, I don't need a car. I don't need a car. You may need a car for what you're called to do for your part of the assignment. Keep in mind, parts of the assignment. You may need a car. She said, I need a big old truck. I need a little teeny tiny plane that my husband can fly and we can come into a little jungle area and land that thing. I don't need a big plane. I need something really little. I need a boat so that I can go into different places in the bush that his plane can't get to. Lester Sumrall needed a massive cargo plane to dump food over tribal areas in Africa. So, I mean, you think about the different assignments that we have and the different needs for the different assignments. Don't make fun of somebody for needing this or her. She's not making fun of somebody else who needs a car. You see? There's no reason for us to criticize those who need different parts for different assignments. Amen? In Ephesians 1, if you want to turn there with me, I can just read it quickly or you can turn if you want. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, Paul said, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Everything we would ever have need of. Everything we would ever have need of has been given to us. And they're all in account for us to withdraw by faith. You don't have them all yet, do you? Does anybody have everything yet? I don't think so. They're not all in our possession yet. But in our life of faith, we are called to draw them out as we have need of them for the things we're assigned to do. They're not just for our personal needs. I'm on silent, but I'm ringing up here and it's making a funny noise. I don't know if y'all hear it or not. Okay. I was going to say, I'm sorry if you are. It's doing a vibration up here. By faith, these things that are in account for us, by faith we draw them out as we have need. And like I said earlier, they're not just for our personal needs, they're for the assignment. And there's more to what we're drawing out. There's more there. There's a whole lot more because there's a whole lot more to this assignment than what we're doing right this minute. I believe that. I believe there's more to the assignment than what we are seeing and what we are doing right now. I believe it's much greater than this. Therefore, there's much greater that's there in account. Are y'all with me? Why would he give everything to his children? Why would he do that? Why would he give everything to us? I mean, he's not a foolish father. He knows what we can and can't handle. He's not foolish. He doesn't want us to have everything dumped on us all at one time and we become prideful or arrogant or to receive what we're beyond what we're able to steward and we just lavish it all on ourselves wastefully like the prodigal son. Actually, the word prodigal, if you'll look it up in the Greek, is A-S-O-T-O-S and it means wasteful. Look it up. Prodigal means wasteful. It's also an abuser of grace, wasteful with the grace of God. In other words, you wasted what God had for you by going out to do your own thing. You wasted what God had for you to pursue your own way. But this guy wasted what his father gave him on riotous living. We see what happens with kids who their parents just lavish everything on them. And they're not able to handle it. How about lottery winners? Most of them are broke now. The statistics say that. I've looked it up. I don't remember what they were now because it's been a little while. Huh? Maybe they're blessing other people. Well, then they shouldn't be having to be back in the dumps again. They ought to be okay by now, right? He says it's all yours, and then by faith, you're to receive by faith as you're learning to faithfully steward what he's given to you, as you're learning to obey, to be obedient stewards. You know, I don't know how we would do if he dumped a whole lot out on us and then asked us to give away so much. I know that Cookie Chavis, if she were to ask the Lord for $10,000 and he said, I want you to give $9,999 of it to Josh or Melissa and Scott or whoever, she would do it. She'd obey. I know she would. I know her. The Lord has tested and seen her obedience. You know, we want to steward our finances well, but we want to also be able to obey what he tells us to do with our finances. And what would probably happen is she would do that, and then he'd give her the 10,000 again and probably 15 instead because of her obedience. But he knows what we're capable of right now and our obedience level and our stewardship level as well. He tested Abraham's obedience, didn't he? He gave him the greatest thing ever, a son. And then he required it of him. And he obeyed. And then the Lord said, okay, now I see. Now I see. Now I see you're trustworthy. So the Lord's saying, it's all yours. You by faith begin to draw it out as you learn to steward well and as you learn to obey with what I've given you. What will you do with what I've already given you? Will you obey if I tell you to give it away? Can you do that? Can you do that? But you know, there are also some who are content to just believe God for their needs to be met and to just give some here and there, you know, like they give at Christmas time or maybe they'll give some to a missionary coming through. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Thank God for that. But I believe there's a whole lot more to your assignment than that. I believe there's a whole lot more to our assignment than that. Again, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about resources that God's given us of power, anointing, revelation of truth, gifts of the Spirit, testimonies by the bucket load. The Lord's saying, I would have you believe me to increase for more. For more. Reinhard Bonnke said, I don't want to play with marbles when God's told me to move mountains. So remember, God's not a foolish father. He doesn't dump it all out on us to start with. But he's also not wasteful either. Everything he has will be needed to accomplish the assignment. It's not wasteful stuff. We need to understand this. He doesn't mind you being blessed. He doesn't mind that. He doesn't have any problem with that. But everything he blesses us with is not waste. There's no waste in it. I hear Linda say that a lot. There's no waste in what we're learning. There's no waste in this. God doesn't waste stuff. He wants us to learn and glean from everything, even when it's mistakes, even when we fall flat on our face, learn from it. Glean everything you can out of it. Don't let it be wasted. God is not a wasteful father. Everything that we learn, everything we grow in, spiritually, physically, financially, every area, he's not wasteful. All of it will be needed to complete our assignment. Right.
Hmm. And I love the fact that, like, when you see, like, Patrick's faith coming into God, it will reach the people. It's like, this brings restorative justice to a land.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
In the way God wants people.
That's good.
In the way he wants the situation. And to bring it back to a God-given place.
Exactly.
Not lawlessness. Not I'm sick for what reason.
Right.
Like, what is all this? But it's all going to fit. It's all going to then make sense.
Mm-hmm. And because his perfect order does make sense. Yeah.
And then it was
yeah.
All the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And then it all came out of that.
Mm-hmm.
But when there's, I don't know, I just find like the prophetic word is often an explanation of things.
Mm-hmm.
And we're partaking in a word of the Lord in action.
That's good. That's good. Thank you for sharing that. That's good. Miles Monroe said this, the greatest tragedy in life is not death, but life. A life that fails to fulfill its purpose and potential. That's the greatest tragedy. Because what a loss. What a loss. We have so much more potential than we realize. The assignment is greater than we realize. But we also have the available resources. We do, through the Lord. We do have them. They are available. And I want us to begin to believe God for the greater. I want us to begin to believe God for greater faith, for more encounters with Him, personally and corporately. I want us to believe Him for greater manifestations of His presence, for greater power and increase our resources. I want us to believe Him for the greater things. And I was thinking about this because we're not just talking about financially. We're talking about other things. And we're saying we want to, how many of you want to believe for greater encounters, more encounters, greater encounters, greater manifestations of His presence, greater faith, greater. So how do we steward and obey what He's already given to us? You know, how do we steward encounters that we've already had? Stop and think about that a minute. What do we do when He shows up? How do we handle that? Do we treasure what God's done? Do we treasure the encounters we have with the Lord? Or do we just move on to the next one? Y'all with me? Do we treasure these things? When He drops something in your spirit, when He drops a word or drops a revealing, a revelation of something to you, when He drops that in your heart, when He's talking to you, do you realize He's making a deposit in you? When He speaks to you about something, He's making a deposit in you. When He reveals something to you, opens your eyes to understand something like, oh, I never realized that before. He just deposited something in your heart. What do you do with that? What do we do with these things? Do we treasure them? How do we share them? Do we share them? Do we put them to use in our life and start living them out in front of other people? What have we done with what He's already given us? I mean, I want more and more and more. What have I done with what He's already given me? Do I live out the things He's already given me? You see what I'm saying? What am I being responsible with what He's already given me? And that's the questions we just need to ask ourselves this stuff. We just need to ask ourselves these questions. Because the stewardship and the obedience of what He's given to us is what really sets us up to receive more. Amen. All right. I also want greater grace for my heart to be expanded for greater. And I was thinking about even that word, the capacity of my heart to be expanded. What is it that builds capacity? Isn't it putting pressure on muscles that builds capacity to grow? Isn't it like putting more on there? Is that something that does it? Come on, somebody who lifts weights. What is it that builds the capacity? You can look at me and tell I'm not the one who knows that. But for real, what is it that builds the capacity? It's stretching. It's having to do. It's being stretched. Say it again. Repetition. Repetition. Stretching. Challenging. Putting more use on our faith. Using it more. Working it more. Repetition. Using it more. So I want the Lord to really teach us how to do this. He's saying in that word, He said, I want to say it like He said it, because He was saying, I want you, it's time for you to believe me for more. It's time for you to believe me for more. My desire is to pour out my spirit in the midst of what the enemy's doing. It's time to believe me for more than your daily stuff that you've been believing for. And I want to let's begin to really believe Him for the more. He said there's grace available to expand the capacity of your heart to believe for greater. And so I really want us to be praying about these things, but then also letting Him do in us what's necessary. And that means challenge. You know, challenge builds, doesn't it? I mean, we don't like it. I don't like it any more than you do. But it does. It does. I wrote this down. How do you enlarge the capacity of a muscle? You use it. You put more on it. You challenge it. You stretch it. I wrote that down like I knew what I was talking about. And that's what we're going to have to do. That's what we're going to have to do. So let's start allowing Him to do a work in our hearts. When things become challenging, say, okay, what do I do here, Lord? How do I stretch my faith here? How do I put it out there in a greater way so that I can learn and grow and expand the capacity of my heart and expand and grow my faith in a greater way? At the same time, I also want us to take a minute and ask the Lord, really, just forgive me for being satisfied. You know, just being satisfied from week to week. Well, I'm content. But there's more. And He's saying, I've done a lot for you guys. You've been a people of great faith, greater than you realize. I've done a lot. You have too much to offer to just be satisfied, to just hang out, you know? Amen. So let's just pray. Let's just pray now. Go ahead and stand up. Lord, I thank You for the challenge that You've put before us, because You're saying, you know, you may not have ever been a big church, but You've done big things, bigger things than you realize. But there's greater that I want to do with You and through You. And You've presented us with a challenge. Lord, I ask You to forgive us for being satisfied in any way, or just content with how You've blessed us. We're grateful for what You've done. But Lord, we want to do the more, because there are more people who need You. There are more marriages that need healing. There are more people's lives that need healing. There are more people who don't know You out there that need to know who You are. There are miracles that are needed in people's lives. And we have access, just like the early church, to the same Holy Spirit for greater things. And we have the Word, and we have been given the challenge. And so, Lord, we ask You for grace. We ask You for the grace that You said You would give to increase the capacity of our faith. And we ask You, Holy Spirit, to help us as we are challenged in areas of our faith. That when challenges come, we would put our faith out there and believe You in every situation. All the more. I realize we have done that much, but all the more, as more challenges come, may we be quick to jump out by faith and allow ourselves to be stretched and build muscle in that way. Lord, we realize the days we're living in even right now, but You're talking about days ahead. We see from Your Word things that it says about that. We want to be ready. Not just us ready, but we want to be ready to be helpful for others. We want to see someone raised up out of a sick bed that affects a whole community, that affects not just a family, but a whole community. We want to see You move powerfully so that a whole city is affected. So, Lord, do that work in our hearts. Do that work in our lives, we're asking You today. Stretch us in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was praying that, I was thinking about Rick Joyner was talking about. He said, I really thought I had a big faith project going. I was believing God to help pay off a nation's debt. And the Lord said, why don't you really use your faith and believe Me to pay off your own nation's debt? He was like, he said, Lord, that's trillions and multiplying daily. You know, like, what are you talking about? The Lord said, come on, put your faith out there. You're believing to pay off this. Why don't you put your faith out? He said, so I'm trying. He said, I'm trying. I'm working on it. Between me and the Lord, we're working on it. But I thought that was pretty cool. You know, we think we've done something because we believe for this or that. And the Lord's saying, oh, but where there's that one right there, there's 15 more behind them in need. In need. Can you be there for that? Amen? Does anybody need prayer for anything before we leave?